Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 91 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Get your job!
A judge has issued a ruling requiring the state to pay legal fees for the plaintiffs who sued Kim Davis in 2015.
A Moorhead councilman is not happy about a Westside housing complex.
Commentator John Modaff discusses oddities in healthcare.
In sports, Bengals cornerback Adam Pacman-Jones has been suspended.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
The complete forecast will be coming up after this news.
A judge has issued a ruling in federal court requiring the state to pay money to couples who were denied marriage licenses by the Rowan County Clerk. In June 2015, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis refused to issue a marriage license to several same-sex couples on the heels of a federal ruling legalizing gay marriage. The ACLU filed the suit on behalf of those couples. U.S. District Court Judge David Bunning ruled against Davis, awarding the couples more than $200,000 in attorney's fees and $2,000 in costs to the plaintiffs. ACLU Legal Director William Sharp says it is unfortunate that Kentucky taxpayers will likely bear the financial burden of Davis's actions.
A human rights group says the Kentucky Department of Corrections is illegally censoring books sent to prisoners. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The nonprofit Human Rights Defense Center says it filed a lawsuit against the department in federal court. They claim they've sent 158 books to Kentucky prisoners in the last year, and dozens were rejected for different reasons. Some of the books include the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of Law, the Prisoner Diabetes Handbook, and the Prisoner's Self-Help Litigation Manual. The Defense Center says the department's policies of banning certain books violates their First and 14th Amendment rights. I'm Haley Hansen.
State officials have appointed a committee to provide historical context for a statue of Jefferson Davis at the Kentucky Capitol. Kentucky's Capitol includes statues of former President Abraham Lincoln and Davis, the only president of the Confederate States of America. Both were Kentucky natives. The statues are governed by the Historic Properties Advisory Commission. 2 years ago, former Democratic Governor Steve Beshear asked the commission to consider moving the Davis statue following the racially charged killings at an African-American church in South Carolina. The commission rejected that idea, opting instead to form a committee to study how to give all of the statues historical context. The committee was not appointed until yesterday. The seven-member committee will include two black members, including the executive director of the Jefferson Davis State Historic Site.
The only remaining abortion provider in Kentucky is preparing for an increase in protests next week. Mike Lindeman with the KNN Kentucky News Network reports.
The founder of Louisville's EMW Women's Surgical Center is satisfied after talks with Louisville Metro Police. EMW expects hundreds of people from Operation Save America to picket outside their doors. Meg Stern is a clinic escort.
So that is a concern of ours. We know that OSA sees it to be reasonable to risk arrest, to stand up for things that they believe in.
The center isn't adjusting scheduling for next week. I'm Mike Lindeman.
A Lewis County man is facing charges involving child exploitation. Kentucky State Police on Thursday arrested 29-year-old Joshua Hayner of Petersville and charged him with 10 counts of possession of a matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. Hayner is being held in the Mason County Detention Center as the investigation continues.
A former beauty pageant winner from Kentucky has been accused of smuggling marijuana into an Ohio prison for an inmate. Media outlets report a grand jury in Allen County, Ohio, indicted 28-year-old Kia Hampton of Louisville earlier this month. The third-degree felony charge of bringing drugs into government facility grounds carries a maximum 3-year prison sentence upon conviction. Hampton was served a search warrant upon arriving at the Allen Correctional Institution on May 26th for an inmate visit. Hampton was crowned Miss Kentucky USA in 2011 and was the first black woman chosen to represent Kentucky in the Miss USA pageant.
Moorhead Councilman Tom Carew is not happy about a development taking place on the city's west side. Carew doesn't like that Mayor Jim Tom Trent and City Planner Rodney Fouch allowed Steve Williams of South Fork General Management LLC to proceed with a project to build a 48-unit housing complex off Kentucky 519 without first having that initiative reviewed by the local Planning and Zoning Commission.
The mayor and the building inspector, you know, took a narrow interpretation, in my view, this is my view, took a narrow interpretation of what our zoning regs require. As I read those zoning regs, I don't see what the exemption, so it's basically a difference of opinion on what planning and zoning requires.
Carew says he bases his opinion on the issue on his experience as a developer and the 20 years he spent on the Planning and Zoning Commission. With Moorhead officials scheduled to redo the town's zoning ordinance this fall, Carew hopes future such disagreements can be avoided.
There won't be a methadone clinic in Moorhead anytime soon. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins says both the County Fiscal Court and Moorhead City Council have rejected a request by Dr. Stephen Lamb of Eastern Kentucky Professional Associates to put such a facility in the former Hex Shopping Center near Interstate 64. Blevins says the two panels said no after local law enforcement officials expressed concerns that the clinic would bring more criminals to the area.
That's correct. I mean, Dr. Lamb made a good presentation that he's not in it for that. He thinks he can run a good clinic. So he actually invited us to come to Lexington at the clinic he's working with now. And I've not been down there. Of course, I'm not the one he's probably going to have to work on. He needs, and I've been told the magistrates that we've been invited down there, but I didn't see a lot of desire to go to Lexington to look at it.
Methadone is used to help those addicted to opioids gradually kick their habits. A Suboxone clinic, however, remains in operation in Rowan County.
The Hazard City Commission has voted to remove City Manager Grady Varney. WYMT reports a preliminary resolution removing Varney was passed yesterday. Mayor Jimmy Linden cast the only dissenting vote. The resolution contends Varney failed in his advisory position, stating he did not supervise the sewer department, which may have caused raw sewage to leak into the river. Varney has 30 days to contest his removal. If he is removed, the city will seek a new manager. Varney, the mayor, the city attorney, and all of the city commissioners have declined media requests for interviews.
Kentucky State Police have arrested four men in connection with the theft of over $50,000 in copper wiring. KSP posts in Moorhead and Pikeville are working with the West Liberty Police Department to apprehend Kenneth Mullins and Ricky Sawyer of Sawyersville, as well as Frank Seagraves of Olive Hill and Richie Gillum of West Liberty. The men are accused of stealing from the Hinkle Hot Mix plant in West Liberty. They're lodged, in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
Moorhead State's president says succeeding under Kentucky's new performance-based funding system starts with the university's adding to its enrollment. As part of its metrics, the formula mandates that the state's public colleges and universities increase their enrollment, retention, and graduation rates. Dr. Jay Morgan says the best way for MSU to do that is by adding more students from all kinds of backgrounds and from everywhere it can. Morgan, though, realizes that the competition among the Commonwealth schools of higher education for those students and their often corresponding scholarship dollars will be fierce.
And institutions all across our Commonwealth are starting to recraft and regraft how they position those scholarship dollars, how they reposition some of their marketing, how they reposition some of their recruiting aspects, and we're going to have to do the same. And I think Dr. Andrews has been looking at that over the past couple of years. It really is a new ball game.
Morgan's edge in the situation may be that he came to MSU on July 1st from the State Council on Post-Secondary Education, the agency that crafted the performance-based funding model.
A $300,000 effort to refurbish the President's House on MSU's campus will get underway next week. Rick Lenio is Morehead State's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management. He says the project will center on replacing the home's electrical and plumbing systems that were installed when the house was built in the 1930s. According to Lenio, it will be an extensive job that will involve tearing into a number of its plaster walls.
Believe it or not, that house is bigger than most people think. I mean, it's got four stories to it. I mean, you got obviously the basement, which is a kind of like the living area, and then you've got the the main living, the main reception area. You got the kitchen and dining room, and then upstairs is the bedrooms, and then above that is the other series of bedrooms.
Lenio expects the renovations at the MSU president's home to take about 4 to 5 months. Right now, new school president Dr. Jay Morgan is living in a residence off campus.
Kentucky Agricultural Commissioner Ryan Quarles is calling for farmers to spend more time, educating the public about what they do. Quarles spoke to members of the American Association of Meat Processors during the opening day of that organization's convention in Lexington. He told the group that many people, especially children, don't know where their food comes from.
When people don't know the difference between a soybean and a green bean, or GMO versus non-GMO, or organic versus conventional, it's really hard to have a productive conversation when you have to start at such a basic level. That same survey showed that 40% of American school children don't know that cheese is a dairy product. And so I encourage you to be part of the conversation.
Quarles encouraged farmers to talk to their legislatures about agriculture and how new bills can affect their farms.
The University of Kentucky's Corn, Soybean, and Tobacco Field Day is next week in Princeton. The event is hosted by the university's College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment and will begin at 7 a.m. on July 27th at the UK Research and Education Center Farm. Tours begin at 7:50 a.m. and will cover topics related to soil health, production decisions, integrated pest management, and tobacco. Presentations will include a soil research update, management strategies for improved decision-making, an update on corn and soybean diseases, and angular leaf spot in dark tobacco.
The lights go out in Hopkinsville next month. The Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen has more.
Hopkinsville is preparing to host over 100,000 visitors from 16 different countries for the solar eclipse. Brooke Young is coordinating the eclipse.
We've probably spent about $500,000 getting ready for this event overall. And we estimate that with the visitors coming into the community, our economic impact will be around $30 million.
She says while bad weather is on their radar, spectators will still experience the environmental changes, even if there are a few clouds. I'm Haley Hansen.
Much of Kentucky is under a heat advisory as indexes rise above 100 degrees. The National Weather Service in Louisville has issued the advisory for this afternoon and evening on both Friday and Saturday. The heat index is a measure of how hot it feels when relative humidity is factored in with the actual air temperature. The Weather Service says the combination of hot temperatures and high humidity can make heat exhaustion or heat stroke possible. Residents are being advised to wear lightweight and loose-fitting clothing, stay in an air-conditioned room, and drink plenty of water. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, we'll see a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms, lows around 73 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy, a slight chance of rain, highs around 92 during the day. Tomorrow night, a 40% chance of rain, lows in the mid-70s. On Sunday, at the end of this weekend, a 50% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 87. That night, a 50% chance of rain continuing, lows around 70. And on Monday, the start of next week, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain, highs in the mid-80s. It is currently sitting at 94 degrees in Lexington. It's 87 right now in Flemingsburg, 82 in Ashland, 85 in Inez, 92 in Winchester, and 91 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It's currently 4:45 here in Morehead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Arlo Barnett, and we are glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. On today's feature segment, commentator John Modav ponders some oddities in healthcare that involve kids, dogs, and machines.
What do dogs, kids, and machines have in common? Well, they're all caught up in the maelstrom of confusion and meddling in the healthcare machine. First, the kid and the dog. You've probably heard the story of the British baby who is very likely going to die at the hands of the nation's National Health Service. The terminally ill child has a thread of hope, with a treatment available only in the USA. But the British Health Service, an oxymoron if ever there were one, has ruled in its wisdom the child should not be allowed out of the nation to receive health care the NHS cannot provide. Doesn't matter that the parents raised funds privately. Does not matter that this is the last hope against hope. No, NHS said, you must leave your child in the UK to die so it does not suffer. I know, sounds crazy, but that's their system. Can't wait till we get that here, Bernie. Jump cut to the dog from Thailand. Maybe this story hasn't hit quite as hard on your various desktops, but a dog with a heart condition is being allowed to travel, with its owner, from Thailand to the United States to receive special medical treatment. A dog. Now, we would not often think such a thing, but in this case, I think the Brits need to take a lesson from the Thais. In my book, a human deserves at least as much love as a dog, dare we say it, even more. The sick British baby might grow up to be a brilliant researcher. The dog is going to grow up to be, at best, a rabbit hunter or a performer. Where's the balance? Another weird issue in healthcare, all dogs and babies aside for the moment, is how people feel about machines. More often than not, one hears folks say, I do not want to be kept alive by machine. I left instructions to that effect. That's a tidy, sensible wish, but also completely unrealistic. We are already being kept alive by machines, and it's only going to get worse. In medicine, machines are picking out pills and dispensing them, keeping vast records of orders for medical care, both approval and denial, performing intricate medical procedures, including irradiation, investigation, and tissue repair. Machines are being used to deliver long-distance care as well as therapy. Yes, without machines, we would die. So without exaggeration, we must admit we are already being kept alive by machines. And with changes in labor conditions, predictably half of workers will be replaced or displaced by machines over the coming decades. In that sense, insofar as satisfying work and self-sufficiency are essential to health, machines are not only being used to cure and care for us, they are clearly going to be implicated in making us sick. As we turn over decisions about health and compassion to dispassionate machines and robots and systems, we can expect more of what has been happening, and to see that dogs get better treatment than people, and that people may be assisted by robots and other devices, but they will never be loved by them.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modav.
When he's not performing checkups on the healthcare system, Dr. John Modav works as a professor of speech at Morehead State University. Now, with sports, is Sean Delaney.
Pac-Man Penalized. Good afternoon with MSPR Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. Bengals quarterback Adam Pac-Man Jones has been suspended for the regular season opening game after his role in an altercation at a downtown Cincinnati hotel earlier this year. Jones pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge from the January incident, the latest in a history of off-the-field legal issues for the NFL veteran. The NFL says the suspension was for a violation of its personal conduct policy. Police said Jones kicked and used his head, as well as he was arrested for allegedly assaulting a hotel employee. Jones can appeal the suspension within 3 days. Cincinnati Reds start a weekend series with Miami Marlins tonight at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. The Reds are just 1-6 since the All-Star break. Much of their recent problems have stemmed from their lack of quality pitching. Manager Brian Price's young hurlers have allowed Cincy's opponents to score in double digits in four of those losses. Price says they need to grow up faster and pitch better.
We just have to get ourselves in position to be in that top third in the National League in pitching, and when we do, we can start really making some strides here. But along the way, we're going to have to give opportunity to the young guys and give them that opportunity to learn how to pitch up here, however painful that can be at times.
2-3 veteran Homer Bailey takes the ball tonight for the Reds. The Marlins will send 7-game winner Jose Urena to the mound. One MLB game on right now. At last check, the Cubs are up 3-2 over St. Louis in the top of the eighth. Services for late Rowan County baseball coach Keith Prater have not yet been finalized by Northcutt and Son Home for Funerals in Moorhead. Prater died at the age of 38 on Wednesday after losing his battle with leukemia. Meanwhile, the accolades continue to pour in for the popular coach. Ray Ginter is the principal at Rowan County Senior High School.
We're getting text messages from all across the state from superintendents and coaches that he's coached with and principals. I mean, and needless to say, the community around here loves him because of what he's done.
In his only season as the Vikings head coach, Prater led them to their first Sweet 16 appearance in nearly three decades. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier thinks the Eagles' 30 or so freshmen that are on campus right now will benefit greatly from that experience. Not only are they getting ahead in their schoolwork, but Tenier says since early July they've spent a lot of time with MSU's coaches watching film.
Our goal is to meet with them 6 to 8 times over a four-week period. So get them, you know, to understand some of the basics, you know, a lot of signals, you know, fronts, formations, a lot of different terminology. So it's been a really helpful piece for us, and we've taken advantage of that. And I think it'll help us once we get kicked off August 1st.
That's when the Eagles preseason camp begins at Jane Stadium. Moorhead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin says this has been an important month for his rebuilt team. With 10 new players and 3 new assistant coaches, Spradlin says the Eagles have spent time not only in the classroom and on the court, but also building some much-needed chemistry.
In the summer, you know, there's not as many students on campus, there's not as many people in our town, and so it really just allows these guys to spend time with one another, and that's huge. It's so important that these guys trust and believe in one another and hold each other accountable, and that just makes all those other things that you do more efficient once you get to the season, once you get to real practice.
The MSU men's basketball team will get a couple of weeks of vacation starting on July 28th before returning to campus for the start of the university's fall semester. And members of the Moorhead State soccer team are preparing to report to campus for the start of their preseason work. After watching his young Eagles go 6-11-2 last fall, Coach Warren Lipka believes they're ready to turn the tables on their opponents this year.
Our team consisted of a lot of freshmen and a lot of sophomore on the field at the same time. We took this past spring and did a lot of building with this group, and we really were able to put it together and get some people solidified in positions and got them trained, and we got them playing on some quality teams in the summer leagues, and we're expecting good things this year.
The MSU soccer team's 2017 schedule starts with a game at Butler on August 11th. That's it for sports from Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Moorhead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell as GE led most industrial stocks lower. The Dow, which had earlier fell more than 100 points, finished with a more modest loss of 31.71 at 21,580.07. The S&P 500 was down 0.91 at 2472.54, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 2.25 to finish at 6387.75. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 14 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And GE actually reported better than expected quarterly results, but sales fell 12% year over year. The drop in revenue came as weakness in GE's energy connections business offset strength in renewables and power units. GE also saw its net profit slump 58% actually year over year. And at the close, GE was down almost 3%. Calendar second quarter earnings have mostly exceeded expectations, with 20% of S&P 500 companies having reported, 73% have beaten profit expectations, while 77% have beaten on sales. Investors will be turning their eyes towards Russia in the coming week as Russia and OPEC and non-OPEC countries meet to discuss compliance of agreed production cuts and how to bring down inventory levels. And crude prices erased earlier gains after it was reported that OPEC supply for July could increase 145,000 barrels per day from June. West Texas Intermediate futures for September delivery were down 2.5% today to settle below $46 a barrel. In Europe, equities fell broadly as the euro climbed higher. The Stock 600 was down 1%, and the German DAX fell nearly 2% and was on track for its worst day of the year. The common currency, the euro, advanced 0.42% to finish at $1.16.7, building on yesterday's strong gains. In Asia, markets were mostly lower, with the Nikkei and Shanghai indices both down about 0.2%. Gold finished with a gain of 0.75% at $1,254.50 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Visa and Nike. The worst performers were GE and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Cintas and Capital One, and the worst performers were Hilmer Campaign and Intuitive Surgical. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 9 cents at $66.69. Valvoline was down a penny at $23.14. AEP up $1.28 at $69.98. Marathon Petroleum down 8 cents at $55.32. AK Steel down 26 cents at $6.20. And CSX was up 81 cents to finish at $51.68. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 5th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will present an international spotlight dinner featuring specially made cuisine from China on Saturday, August 26th. Dinner begins at 6:30 p.m. and tickets are $25 for adults and $15 for students.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening region. Tonight, you can expect a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms, lows around 73 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance of rain, highs around 92. Tomorrow night, a 40% chance of rain, we'll see lows in the mid-70s. On Sunday, a 50% chance of thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. We'll see highs around 87. That night, a 50% chance of rain continuing, tapering off later into the night. Lows around 70 degrees. And on Monday, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain and slightly lower temperatures with highs in the mid-80s. It is currently 94 degrees in Lexington. It's 87 right now in Flemingsburg, 82 in Ashland, 85 in Inez, 92 degrees in Winchester, and 91 degrees here in Moorhead.
Coming up next on All Things Considered, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is announced as the new press secretary after the resignation of Sean Spencer. Opioid treatment funds in the Senate bill would also fall far short of the needs of America. That's coming up on All Things Considered. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen and Mike Lindemann. MSU Professor John Modaff had his regular commentary. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.